Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show, presented by KFC. I'm your host, William Liu, and I am not joined by Josh for once. Josh is in Australia, hopefully like warm, but not like too warm, and I'm joined instead by Katie.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. I hope Josh is safe.
I think he is. I did message him like 14 hours ago.
Have you heard?
Like
sleeping,
back?
Maybe. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he told me something about have a great show and happy that Katie
nice
came out to replace.
That's nice he's thinking of you.
Yeah.
When his life might be in danger.
I think Josh is going to be okay, but you know what? I feel bad now. I should message Josh. Josh, if you're okay, please call.
Give us a signal.
Give us a call. You know the number, 416-263-8297 and 416-263-8298. We are taking your calls on the Toronto Raptors, who just played a very ugly game in Miami. Your thoughts
ugly
on yesterday's game?
In a beautiful place.
Okay.
We talked a bit about this before we got started, but considering how like in rough shape the Raptors are in right now, it wasn't the ugliest game that I was like anticipating, you know?
Yeah.
Could have been a lot uglier.
It could have been a lot uglier. The fact that they were even in a game where they missed, I mean, it was literally the worst three-point shooting performance ever by the Raptors mm-hmm. as a franchise in 25 mm-hmm. years. considering they were still in that game, it's not bad. And if honestly, like, if you look at the losses they've had with this, like, super shorthanded roster,
mm-hmm.
you lose by, in overtime, to the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, not the worst thing. And it was a back-to-back as well. They got blown up by the Celtics, but then they made up for it.
Mm-hmm. More than made up for it.
Yeah. And then they had this random game like, where they missed every single shot ever.
They did, but I will say, too, the like such a low score for both teams, mm-hmm. That could have been a lot worse. So they like, the shooting's not there. The defense is good.
Mm.
We still got a smothering defense.
Okay, so we can get to our first caller. We have Sean in Florida who wants to talk about Pat McCaw. Wow. Okay. All right.
Nice.
Happy New Year, Sean.
Yeah. You too, man. How's it going? How'd you guys spend your New Year's? Hope you guys had a good time.
I spent mine way up north on like a frozen lake. It was chill.
That sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I was covering Raptors Cavaliers, and then I went to just a regular house party. You know, real cool. All right. What's up, man? What's going on in Florida?
Yeah. How's Florida?
Were you at the game?
No, I wasn't. I mean, I thought about going to the game. I went to the Orlando game, though. It was closer. I'm okay. Like between Orlando and Miami, so it's closer for me to go to Orlando. It's like a 2-hour-and-a-half drive to Miami. But I'm actually from Toronto, but I'm living here for my PhD. So, you know, right. Following cool. the Raptors while I'm in school. And, you know, overall, I'll say that last night's performance was pretty good. Like, they worked their butts off. Like, mm-hmm. that intensity was there. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're not ever going to shoot like that again. So, like, people saying, like, oh, we lost another over 500 team. Like, they had to chillax because if we had our full roster and we were just hitting some shots, we beat them. Like, I'm not scared of Miami at all. I'm scared of the Bucks. I'm always been scared of the Bucks. I'm not scared of anybody else in the Eastern Conference. We can beat Boston. We can beat Philly especially. They're just, like, reeling. But I mean, honestly, people look at our record and say, like, this team can't be over 500 teams. You just discussed it previously, you know, that little stretch where we had Ibaka and Lowry come back. The team was sort of, like, out of sorts, you know, chemistry-wise, and we faced a bunch of good teams, and we couldn't win. It's understandable, but like I said, when we have a full roster, which I don't know when that'll be, mm-hmm. I feel like this team can compete. So my question is about Pat McCaw. I don't know if you remember, Will, I was responding to one of your tweets a while back during the Christmas game where I was somewhat skeptical about, you know, Nurse using him in certain offensive sets.
Yeah.
And I watched this guy play, and I mean, like, I don't understand Nick Nurse's use of this guy as much as I see other players get, like, short leashes. But, mm-hmm. like, this guy just seems to have free reign right when he comes back, and I don't seem to understand it. I don't know if maybe it's because Nurse just really likes him, or uh-huh. maybe you can explain why a guy, for, like, what I see, doesn't really have that many offensive skills. He seems somewhat awkward. Like last time, he was airballing layups. Just looked completely weird the way he was out there. He hit threes here and there, but like he just looked awkward on the offensive zone. And I'm just like, maybe Will knows something that I don't know about why Nick Nurse uses this guy as much as other players who get shorter leashes. Let me explain that to me.
It's curious. It's curious. I do see where a coach would like him because he, relative to the other players, makes less mistakes. You kind of live with that. He can handle the ball a little bit. But, I mean, if I were Nick Nurse, I wouldn't play him that much. He did have that great stretch when he played in Boston. That was a really eye-opening game. And it felt like that game kind of spoke to me in the sense that, like, oh, so if he's aggressive on offense, he can actually make a couple of things happen. Because you remember that game, he had, like, a pull-up jumper. He had one where he banked it off the glass, and I was like, okay, that's, like, real skill. Why is he not doing that most times? But, I mean, half the time he kind of is just kind of inert, like yesterday when he missed that layup. So I think Nick probably mostly sees what McCaw is in practice, maybe. And
The thing that bugs me the most about watching McCaw recently, like now that he's getting so much usage, is there's a real reluctance to him, like to anything he's doing. He's always a little bit like, I don't know, do I want to be playing basketball? Like, should I catch this ball? Do I want to shoot? No, I don't. I'm going to. Like pass it like out of my hands as soon as I can. So I don't really like that. I'm not going to call him a grifter. I'm not there yet.
Wow.
You know, he's a three-time champ.
Yeah.
But there's like there's a definitive thing missing from a three-time champ.
Yeah. But I will say that Nurse must see something in him, and it might be just something where behind closed doors we don't see it. Maybe he's just like torches everybody in practice and it comes out and shoots 1 of 8.
He does have his like weird and wily moments. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what someone on your Twitter was mentioning. They were like, Nick Nurse loves seeing him in practice. He makes a lot of shots in practice. And I'm like, well, that doesn't necessarily equate to, playing time. You got to perform, not just in practice. And so it's, still somewhat skeptical. But if this guy picks it up and starts, hitting, 10 to 12 points a game, that would make a huge difference. It's just his reluctance to shoot, It's just he looks so kind of hesitant, going up and everything. And you'd expect more from a guy who's won 3 championships and been there, although he probably didn't play much. But you get where I'm coming from, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. No, it's strange, man. It is strange. Nick does definitely seem to really like McCaw more than almost anybody in the world.
A lot of people. But, I mean, we do have to look at what we're working with, right? Like, which is not much right now. So I think these troubles may smooth themselves out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I think we'll be fine. I think we're doing okay, and I don't know when our players are coming back. That kind of scares me a little bit, But I don't know. Maybe you guys can let me know if you have any idea of what kind of time frame we're looking at for some of these guys. Like I know, because I heard someone tell you about Pascal. It could be quite a while, like ways away. I don't know what ways away means, but I don't know. Should we be worried? Like it'd be another month, another 2 months, or is that just unknown at this point?
Well, I mean, nobody really knows much. One of the things with the Raptors that I find annoying as an organization is they don't really keep people informed as to what's going on with injuries. Obviously, last year with Kawhi was so weird, so he had his own thing. But
yeah, I mean,
nobody really knows.
The one thing that did kind of worry me, and this might be getting like too like tinfoil hat, but was when they released names for All-Star voting, and they right away opted for 3 players. You know, so like that kind of tells me that Fred's there in case Siakam's really not on his way back.
Wow.
Which I don't even like. I feel like that's a cursed thing to say. Sorry.
I still think he'll be a backup reserve. But anyways, I think it was just, hopefully they get back. But I definitely see Pascal making it as an all-star reserve. I think Kyle's also very deserving. But
the team's
doing okay. The intensity was there last night. I think we'll be fine. And I appreciate the call, guys, as usual. Keep up the good work.
All right, thank you. Enjoy Florida and
enjoy
get your
the
PhD.
Sunshine.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right. We have another call. We're starting the show hot with Pat McCaw and now Stanley Johnson. We have Avery on the line from Calgary, wants to talk about Stanley.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good,
man. Why is Stanley Johnson on your mind?
He's on our mind.
The limited minutes he played last night, and he just got out there, and he was very jerky with his movements.
Okay.
And I think in a time like this, we could really use a couple more bodies to throw out there, and I'm just curious to see why he hasn't seen minutes, and how come he just doesn't seem to fit. And I can understand the injuries kind of weighed him down, but I don't know, like everyone else seems to be stepping up, and I'm just curious how we can make him work.
I mean, first off, this is a very rare caller that has had nice things to say about Stanley. So, hey, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, we're both two Stanley truthers. I don't know if people know that about us.
I don't want to go on
well,
like that.
Whatever. We are both on record.
Yeah.
Before the season started.
That's true.
We were both open about our intrigue when it came to Stanley. We wanted to see what he had. I thought coming into the Raptors like system, he's going to get more minutes. He seems like that quintessential guy that the Raptors like know how to fix or like shine up and make the magic happen a little bit.
Sure,
it hasn't.
It just hasn't. You know what? I think. Well, two things. I think one, Nick talked about it before the year. He was just like, I don't like the way they're competing on defense. Even though Stanley Johnson had a reputation, Nick didn't like that at the time. He hasn't talked about Stanley much since, so mm-hmm. I don't know if his opinion of him has changed since. But that's definitely what he was saying before the year. And then if you look at the offensive skill set, Nick is just really reluctant to put guys out there who can't shoot three-pointers. Mm-hmm. And Stanley's a guy who can't really shoot on a consistent enough basis for Nick to feel comfortable with him. And I think also when you see him play, he seems almost really pressed in those minutes. Like as you mentioned, he was a little bit jerky.
Yeah.
But like he does have this tendency to make a bit of mistakes as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it must be something in practice where they're just seeing it and they're just like, he's not really fitting into what is going on. Because it's weird. It's very awkward because people ask like, hey, every scrum, they'll ask Coach Nick, they'll be like, hey, are people coming back from injuries? And he will mention everyone else's injury but not talk about Stanley. Every time it was like Stanley doesn't exist or is not on the team and stuff like that. So I don't know. I guess I don't know. I don't think he's a Nick Nurse kind of player, maybe.
Maybe. And I think, like, unfortunately, to his detriment, the way that a lot of those kinks or, like, that jerkiness is going to get smoothed out is by having more minutes. But if the confidence from Nurse and the rest of the team isn't there, then he's not going to get any time.
Yeah.
So we're in a bit of a catch-22 with Stanley.
Yeah, and the shooting is just a real issue. Because, like, a guy like Rondé hustles and makes all these plays happen such that, okay, you can maybe ignore the shooting just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Stanley doesn't do that.
No.
And so then it's like, all right, what incentive do I have to put him into the game, you know?
And I guess I am a bit worried, too, that by now, like, with the guys that have kind of worked themselves in, like Rondé, they know how things work now, even when we have these like very strange lineups out of necessity.
Yeah.
Whereas like if you threw Stanley in now, he'd be even more lost.
That's true.
And we have the offensive struggles and not the defensive struggles, and that's kind of where he would really add anything.
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
But his injured bench outfits though were pretty fresh.
I was actually going to say that. Yeah. I've seen him in the tunnel a couple times. Like he always looks good.
Yeah.
Extremely fresh, maybe a little too chipper, given like
he does seem extremely happy.
I hope the gravity is like
O'Shea percent.
Maybe hitting him a bit. Like he never hangs around; he's gone pretty quick after games.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
Were you gonna interview him?
I might ask him.
Okay, all right, fair
some
enough.
Questions. Some of these questions.
Fair enough. Hey, Stanley, why aren't you playing?
Yeah,
right, that'd be awkward. all right, thank you, Avery. Enjoy
Calgary. No problem. Yeah, thanks. It's nice out here. Is it cold there?
It's actually all right.
It's pretty mild.
Yeah.
It's like, pretty nice.
It was like 9 degrees the other day. It was real weird.
Oh, shit.
But you got those beautiful mountains.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm going snowshoeing tomorrow, so.
Hell yeah.
All right. Enjoy that.
Yeah. Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
This is so nice.
That was really nice.
The calls so far have not been angry, which I always enjoy the not angry ones. I do kind of want a couple of Stephen A. Smith types to call in, but that could also go wrong.
I mean, I feel ready for that, but I like the nicer ones. And I felt really bad with that one that we couldn't offer really any glimmer of hope about our man Stanley Johnson.
Listen, we are the number one Stanley Johnson program in Toronto.
The only one.
The only one.
Might be the only ones talking about him.
But also number one. That's the best thing about being the only one is you are guaranteed to be number one. And we will have more Stanley suggestions later in the show. But at the moment, we have John calling in from Brampton asking about Andre Drummond.
Yes, I love this already.
What's good?
Hey, guys. First-time caller. Just wanted to pick your brains. But since the reports are leaking now with shopping Drummond, one-year expiring term, if he opts in, he's never been on a winner, you could definitely win with us and maybe take a cheaper deal. What do you think?
I don't know that he's going to take a cheaper deal because I think this is actually Drummond's like first big ticket. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of...
He got a big contract from Detroit. But I don't think he's trying to take a discount.
He could now hop and get a bigger one, and he could get out of Detroit.
True.
For somewhere more lucrative that could use him. I like Andre Drummond. I like that he is, like, exploded on the Pistons. He's, like, very necessary for them because, like...
He does do a couple of good things.
You know, some other... You're, you know, like... I could tell.
There's things to like, and there's a lot of things not to like about him.
He's just shining where, say, Blake Griffin is not. And he's like a good, I don't know, he's like a good defensive big man.
Yeah, see, that's where I can't agree with you.
Oh.
He does not play defense. That's what bothers me about big man. unfortunately, I think John's call dropped, but yeah, I mean.
Damn.
Yeah, that's one thing that bothers me about big men. When you don't play defense, it just corrupts your team. Mm-hmm. And it hurts too much. And if at least a couple of games that I've seen him play, even just outside of him against Toronto, but just in general, Drummond is not playing a lot of defense. And he's always someone that you look at, you're like, yeah, he has the capability of playing defense. He has, like, Serge Ibaka's athleticism and in Marc Gasol's wide body, which is should be amazing defensively, but he doesn't really do it.
Maybe he just needs to get crammed into a good defensive system.
Maybe. And hey, that's one thing. He hasn't really had a serious program.
Use his body for good.
Yeah. But, you know, he does have really good hands, though. He's a very good hand for a big man.
Yeah.
Pick up the ball. He's obviously a really good rebounder. He can't shoot.
Kind guy.
Seems really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. He just did this thing where he, before the holidays, was at a grocery store in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
He was a cashier for the day. And a lot of people didn't know who he was. And he was like, it's my first day. I'm real nervous.
No.
And then he paid for everyone's groceries. Really
that's,
nice.
That's super nice.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine the cashier pulled to buy your groceries. They're like, no.
If it was Andre Drummond?
This pack of Ferrero Rocher is
I'd just run out of the store. Forget my groceries.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the Raptors should. I don't really see him as the type of player that would fit. He definitely is a good player.
Mm-hmm.
He's impactful, but I don't know if he fits what the Raptors want.
Yeah. To the actual question, I don't think we should. We don't need him.
No. But it is a concern, though, because the Raptors do have some questions mark at center. Like, Mark, I don't know if. Honestly, I don't know if either Mark or Serge are here long term.
Yeah.
It's, you know, their contracts are expiring.
Yeah, it's kind of one or the other, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, that's not really a long-term solution. And if you look at the, like, developmental pipeline, there's not that many bigs. There's the one, but, you know.
Yeah, who doesn't really strike me as a big in the same way.
No, he's more like a four. He's kind of really sinewy.
Yeah, but that is, like, the big model is changing, as it always does in the NBA. So, you know, he could be the new prototype.
Maybe all future bigs will be, like, DeJuan Hernandez. We are also accepting more calls, so call in at the two numbers listed below, 416-263-8297, 416-263-8298. In the meantime, let's answer some of these YouTube comments.
Oh, that's what these are.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're just looking at an iPad with, like, notes on it. And I forgot to explain this part to Kate.
That's okay.
How about we go for Black Tree Hill? Surge for Wiggins.
No.
You're not buying into Wiggins' breakout year?
I'll believe this when there's, like, some level of consistency.
If anything Andrew Wiggins does leads to wins?
Yeah. It's like when Derrick Rose gets a layup and everybody's like, oh my God, game of the century.
Yeah, the people actually do go kind of crazy for that.
It's nuts.
Okay.
I want the best for Wiggins. Like, he deserves it. It's just, like, taken a real long time. But I don't think the Raptors don't need him. Not now.
Well, what about this? He's averaging 24.8 points per game.
You're not going to convince me.
And he's shooting 44% from the field, 32% from three.
Who else is shooting on that team?
Nobody.
So
he's averaging a career-high 3.3 assists. That would probably lead the Cavaliers.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
He'd be a good fit for the Cavs.
Oh, he would be great on the Cavs, man. Maybe Wiggins for love. Just redo that whole thing.
Wiggins for love. It's got a good ring to it, too.
What is this question? What is Brady Hasler potential in business? What does that mean?
Like, whose business?
Like, the business of basketball? He's good for EuroLeague.
Sure. Yeah. In business. But business capitalized.
That's real confusing.
Sure. In the world of business, as an entrepreneur?
He does look like he could work in business.
Yeah.
He He looks like he could sell
Coca-Cola. He could hold the shit out of a briefcase.
Ah, definitely.
Yeah.
Brady Hesler with that hair? Going to Burlington every day?
I like it. Yeah, you could see him commuting.
Definitely. Yeah. I've seen him at the McMaster DeGroote School of Business.
Good question.
Shout out to McMaster, my alma mater. Hal Jordan. We already got Matt Thomas. We don't need Brady at the moment.
That's in direct response to that.
That's
but fair. What about the business?
I kind of do like Matt Thomas more than
you know, but I can't really see Brady. Matt Thomas holding a briefcase in the same way.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Wow.
He's going to be like more mech'd out.
Yeah. Oh, you know? Yeah. Yeah. He will
Matt
be
Thomas
one of those guys.
Is going to
yeah.
be like a mech'd out type.
Only
of guy.
Ever see him in Patagonia jackets. DP 23. What's the outlook for OG's upcoming extension? That's a good question.
I feel like we should have an 8-ball.
Okay.
Outlook.
Yeah. Here, I'll do a virtual 8-ball. Virtual 8-ball. All right, but what do you think? Would you extend OG this summer?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I would.
All right.
It's real slow loading.
Why? Why would you extend him this summer? The internet is usually faster here.
Because, unless you can, like, package him up and, like, I don't know, get some... The free agency this summer was not that exciting.
No, it's not exciting at all.
And I think when you've already kind of, like, you know, made it extremely clear. It's Pascal, like, you know, it's Fred. Like, these are the guys that we're going to build this team around.
Mm-hmm.
And OG's just coming back.
Right.
He's looked good. He's looked, like, a little bit shaky sometimes. But, like, I think more than bad, he's been looking pretty good. He's the sort of support, like, you want around those guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm always like, let's keep this sweet band together.
Yeah, I hear you. And the Raptors
OG
are generally...
unit. Yeah.
They're generally a team that keeps everyone together.
Yeah.
I would say the only thing working against them in the extension kind of thing is just you kind of want to keep your cap space open for 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And if you extend OG and put him and lock him at a number, then the number counts against your 2021 cap.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you allow him to be a restricted free agent at that time, then he's on the books for the cap hold, which is probably going to be less than what he signs for. I don't know, man. This stuff is all weird.
It is weird.
Yeah.
It's so theoretical.
It's a flexibility thing.
Yeah, it is. And I think if you do want to stay flex, then like extend him, but like don't give him like the like a lucrative like Siakam type deal.
Yeah.
Well, and then look at maybe him as being a player that like to contrary to your point, like keep him for another year, develop him.
Yeah.
Because I think he will continue to develop, and then you've probably got a more attractive prospect to shop around if you so chose.
That is true. But I do agree with this comment here from Lath, who says OG needs to be more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think so. But you know what the one thing that's holding back OG these days is that handle. I really dislike when he dribbles the basketball.
It's a little loose, huh?
It's more than a little loose. He does some weird things with it. It doesn't look like he's super coordinated.
Yeah.
Line drive, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
Fast break, he's good.
He's good.
Catch and shoot threes for half the year was good. This past month was really, really bad for him, the month of December.
This aggressive thing is something that keeps coming up. Like, we've talked about it, like, a little bit with Stanley. We talked about it. Definitely talked about it with Pat McCaw.
Yeah, sure.
And it's also, like, an interesting question because I agree they need to be more aggressive. But, like, it's also sort of, like, how do you do that? Like,
yeah.
How do you... It's not up to any coaching. I don't think it's really up to a rotation. It's, like, getting these guys in, like, really tight spots and kind of trusting them to excel and, like, become aggressive.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, OG, to me, it's like he's got no reason not to be confident.
That is true. Also, we have the 8-ball here. Spike's 8-ball knows all. This website looks like it was made in 2002. I don't know if I can show it to the screen, but it just... It is an old website here.
That's like a GeoCities.
Yeah, it's there you go. Ask.
That looks like a webcam. That doesn't even look like an 8-ball.
Try again. Okay. All right. Oof. Ask again. What is it? It really has a good animation. Without a doubt. There you go.
Okay.
It's done.
Without a doubt.
Spike's 8-ball knows all. It does not lie about OG's contract. Okay. Let's take a caller.
A caller.
Kashteen in Toronto wants to talk about starting lineup in 2021.
Okay.
What's good?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
You sound great.
Hey.
Happy New Year.
Awesome. So my question is, which current Raptors do you think will survive the Giannis austerity measures He'll be on the roster at the start of the 2021-2022 season.
Why are you making him sound like Margaret Thatcher or
Yikes.
Something?
Yikes, yeah, it is.
Well, we're gonna have to save some cash. We can't extend OG. Fred might have to not get the full bag. So who's going to survive the austerity?
Good question.
The austerity might.
I don't know if Norm survives.
Yeah. Norm, unfortunately, pops right to the fore.
Very tradable contract, especially with the way he's playing right now. But I do think Fred could probably get his money.
I do have to say, I think Fred's getting the bag.
Yeah.
He's getting some money.
Like a $20 million bag. Yeah. Of late, his play has come down a little bit more. And I think the hype of like, oh, maybe people offering the max is come back to like, all right, it's Fred VanVleet. Maybe we'll give him 20.
A reasonable amount.
Yeah. If he gets 20, I think he's good. Pascal being hurt this long actually helps in an inadvertent way to the Giannis sweepstakes, because his contract is tiered such that he can receive additional bonuses if he hits second or first team All-NBA and win MVP or something like that, or win MVP. And with him being injured, I think that might take a bit of a hit. But yeah, I really just think it's OG needs to win on this extension, and they may or may not need to trade Norm. But I actually don't think you need to destroy the whole core. The one area that, you know, I think it just kind of makes sense to otherwise, but the veterans, like if you look at Kyle, Mark, and Serge, those guys probably won't be around for when Giannis comes.
Yeah, that's tough for me to think about.
The Giannis austerity measures.
Bleak.
It's a hell of a line.
It really is.
I have a depressing DeMar follow-up question.
No.
Oh, my God.
Great.
Every question about DeMar is depressing, but keep going.
So I was watching – who were they playing last night? They're playing
– The Heat.
OKC.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So I was watching Chris team. And so just the over-under on future DeMar DeRozan seasons in the NBA, what would you set that at?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's a 3.5. He's like 30 right now?
Yeah.
Is he?
I'm going to look it up right now.
Let's look.
DeMar right now is 30 years old.
Not to psychoanalyze the players, but I was...
No,
like,
let's.
It just seemed like Rudy Gay was giving him some very knowing looks of like, this can all be gone very fast.
Wow. Rudy would know.
You caught that? Like just watching the game?
Well, you know, league pass is good, high quality.
Pointed, knowing looks across the court.
I just read into it. Anyways, I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
No. I love reading into it.
I think, honestly, Rudy would be a pretty good, like...
Barometer?
No, just an example of how to extend your career. Because Rudy Gay went from what DeMar is kind of now. It's like, he's on a bad contract, plays a losing style of basketball.
He went to the Raptors' dumping ground.
He went to
the graveyard.
The Raptors. Oh, man, I hated
Kings.
Rudy Gay and the Raptors.
No, but then he went to the Kings.
So you want DeMar to go to the Kings?
No, I don't. But I'm just using it as like...
His life's...
That was like his boomerang shot. Yeah. Came back around.
Yeah, and now he's like a decent player. People like Rudy Gay probably more than DeMar DeRozan now. But it's because Rudy bought in on defense, and he started shooting threes. And he took a lesser role.
I want DeMar to stick around in San Antonio.
He's fully skilled enough to stay around in the NBA. Yeah. But it's always the same thing when we talk about DeMar. This is why every DeMar call is depressing. Because it's like, if he just were willing to play defense or willing to shoot a three ball, he could probably extend his career. But he doesn't. And he, you know, then these kind of questions come up. But honestly, if he follows the Rudy Gay path, he can extend his career.
Yeah. Maybe that's why Rudy was giving him those looks.
Yeah. He's like, hey, man. You see the line out there?
I know how.
Go behind that line and shoot that jumper. And then play defense to prevent other people from shooting that jumper. Done.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. But thanks for the time. You know, hopefully Serge gets to survive the austerity measures needed to fit forever.
Yeah, that's probably the least likely one, unfortunately.
Oh, you think? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Sorry for the depressing call.
All right.
Okay.
It's all right, man. It's January in Toronto.
Bring in necessary
levity. Wow, he hung up on us.
He did.
Yeah, damn.
Harsh.
Yeah.
Destroyed the buzz and then just...
Hey, DeMar's been on a hot streak of late. 29 points against Detroit. A 13-16 shooting. Very efficient. Obviously no threes. 11-18 against the Warriors and a win. 24 points. Pretty good. And then yesterday against OKC, 30 points on 13-25 shooting. Okay, that's not the greatest. But that's not bad.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, like, look, at this point, What more do you want? This is depressing. But what do you want from DeMar?
DeMar shooting 52% from the field.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's probably the most efficient he's ever been.
He's just on a kind of shineless team. That's all. Like, and he can't help it. That's the Spurs.
Yeah.
He's doing okay.
Yeah. Bruno for DeMar trade.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Are these real? Can't people vote these down?
I don't know. YouTube is real old
YouTube's
school.
For everyone.
YouTube is for everyone, as we're seeing here.
I fell off my chair. I was so shocked by that question.
Another one. DeMar, please leave San Antonio because they will make you look bad. He wasn't a bad shooter at the last year on the Raptors.
Well, we just proved he's not a bad shooter now on San Antonio. Sorry.
You know what I was convinced that DeMar was a bad shooter? A couple of years ago when he was on the Raptors, he put up this like Instagram post of like him shooting at 4 a.m. in like Vegas. Yeah, he's like, man, I'm working so hard.
I didn't like
and
that.
And then he had a picture of like the machine where you can shoot the ball and it rebounds for you and spits the ball out. But it also had the number of shots he shot, which was like 700. It's like, wow, this guy's 4 a.m. in the morning in Vegas shooting 700 shots. And it's like 64%. And I was like, come on.
He might have not slept yet. He might have been in the casinos on that.
Maybe he was just up too late. But
I don't know if that was like a Jimmy Butler thing, like I'm at the gym at 2 a.m. prepared. That might have been like, man, I don't want to go to bed yet.
I'm just saying, like, I couldn't come home to my parents and be like, hey, I stayed up all night to do this homework and I got 64%. Like, I would try to burn that.
Yeah, that's true.
And
you wouldn't really post the proof out there.
No. So that's why I was like, if you're going to post this, then the 3-point shooting's probably not going to come for him. So, but I love DeMar, man.
Yeah,
just
I love
like,
DeMar.
I hate making fun of DeMar. It's just like,
just saying things that he literally did.
Yes, was what he did. Avery says, I think this team is better than when we had DeMar. He wouldn't really fit in the system now.
I agree.
It's kind of an issue.
Oh. What? The system? That he wouldn't fit in? Which
no,
part
that's,
is
that's
the
whole that's the whole DeMar issue. It's the Raptors play a 3-and-D system. Everyone plays defense and shoots threes.
Yeah.
And that's specifically what DeMar doesn't do anymore.
I wish happiness for
Same.
DeMar, too.
Ellen. Same.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate what's happening, but he can't extend his career. It doesn't have to end like this.
Mm-hmm.
And people are saying he sucks.
Sorry, that was like a real doomsday call.
Yeah.
Keep calm and carry on Margaret Thatcher style, as you put it.
And he said austerity, and
I know.
Associate her with. Anyway, but yeah, DeMar's averaging 21 points per game, and he's shooting 52%. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
People, please call in. Call
Why
into the show.
Call us.
You know, it's the new year. I want to wish people a happy new year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're trying.
Where's Kate? Kate usually calls in with like a banger call, like 5 minutes of
I want to hear about what everybody did for New Year's.
Yeah. Call in and tell us.
You don't even we don't want to talk about DeMar DeRozan anymore.
Yeah. So yeah, call us. The two numbers are listed below. Another YouTube comment from Moyes Khan, should Raptors staff make Siakam gain 10 pounds of muscle over the offseason? I don't know how you make someone do that. It's a little weird.
That's like a Miami Heat. Take pictures of them topless when they arrive to the team.
Right. That's actually
kind of
weird.
Shame them into getting a better body and slowly losing their minds.
Honestly, the Heat training staff treats them like some bars treat their...
Yeah.
Servers.
And I think they get away with it because they're in Miami a little bit. Mm. They're just like, you want to look good? You live here.
You want to go to the beach?
Yeah. You want to go to the beach with that body?
That's why everyone's
perfectly
like,
fine body, probably much better than most bodies.
Probably.
Not good enough for the Miami Heat.
Yeah. And now they're going to and that's why everyone was like trying to trade Kyle to Miami. First off,
that's so sad.
Don't want to see that happen. I want to see Kyle Lowry stay on the Raptors.
Yeah.
But second of all, like, yeah, I don't know, man.
I don't
know. Kyle Lowry with that role in Miami, it's just not the same.
I mean, he looks fine now. Let's not get into
the
body shaming.
He actually, it was one of those things where on TV you're like, oh, he looks kind of thick. And then you see him in person and it's like, no, he's, a world-class athlete.
He's fit.
Yeah. He wears like a pack on his back.
Yeah, he's
that makes it look more bulky.
Extremely fit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
So no, I don't think you should force anyone to alter their bodies.
But I mean, I do think if Pascal did gain a little bit of weight, he could maybe be a little stronger in the post.
He's pretty strong.
Yeah.
He's a strong. I wouldn't go up against him.
As we've already said, the future NBA is just gonna be everyone's gonna be DeJuan Hernandez.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah, you know, lean, a lot of sinew.
Yeah, definitely.
The sinew game.
Yeah,
it's coming up.
Line one. We're gonna take a call from our favorite guy, Uzair, in Hamilton.
Hey, Will.
Yo.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing, man? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys too. How you guys doing today?
Pretty good.
Are you on the drive again? Good.
You sound like you're driving. Yeah. I hope you're being safe. Yeah,
this man's always driving at this hour.
I told you, I finished work and I'm just heading back, right?
All
right.
Be safe on the QE.
So my question... for real. Okay, so my question was, so what's more impressive, Raptors having, maintaining a winning record over the last 7 years actually, or their farm system consistently bringing out players that, you know, show up and produce at the NBA level?
Mm. Well, I think the answer is the same. I think one feeds into the other, right? Like, that's in true. An ideal system, that's what you want. I mean, the Raptors were one of the first teams to actually, like, use the D-League in that way. And, very effectively. So much so that, like, every other team who just kind of had, like, a D-League team, like, wasting away, started to actively, like, invest in them. Started to, like, train up players, get them going on two ways. So I think, like, one, when you're doing it properly, like the Raptors have, like, to your point, one's going to feed into the other. And that's exactly what's happened with Toronto. And, like, I think you can equate, like, a lot of the winning record to that. Totally.
So, like, yeah.
Remember when they were sending Bruno to Fort Wayne?
The Mad Hats.
Like they sent this baby to, like, a boarding school?
Yeah,
And he was crying every night? And he was like, yo, come on, I want to be a real basketball player. And then they were like, okay, fine, we'll build a whole team in Mississauga for Bruno.
Just for the baby Bruno.
But it worked out, you know? Even Bruno's in the NBA now.
Yeah, even Bruno.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, look at, obviously, like, the big, like, stars of that. Like, what I think you could sell anyone on the D-League. I just refuse to call it the G-League. But the D-League.
You don't want to call it the Gatorade League?
No, I don't.
Gatorade League sounds terrible.
It does. So, the D-League, you could really, like, sell that whole thing based on the success of Pascal Siakam, based on the success of, like, Fred VanVleet. So,
yeah,
I don't know. That's a very astute observation.
They should normalize it in a way, because, like, no one in Europe makes fun of, like, Lionel Messi because he had to go to the Barcelona training school, or like nobody in baseball makes fun of Mike Trout for having to play in the minors. It's like, it's just normal.
And I think it's like, it's just gonna take time and teams like normalizing that, right?
That's
and teams like not normalized. Looking at it as like a step down, you know.
I read a stat somewhere,
or punishment.
It was like over a third of the NBA has now spent some time in the D-League in the current NBA, which is, like, amazing.
And it's, like, it is a viable path for a lot of guys who, like, aren't going to get drafted, who want to take a more, like, it was, I guess, a more non-traditional route, but now might just become another, maybe even more viable way than the draft to, like, get into the league.
I remember I was reading a quote yesterday. I think Nick Nurse said it, that, like, the 25th and the 95th person in the draft, there's no, like, basically there's no difference whatsoever in a sense now.
Pretty much,
So do you think that this is going to increase the competition? Because I know I was also reading another report saying that the competition, like the statistics and audience has gone down a bit because, you know, the Warriors having, you know, such a dominant team and et cetera and stuff. But do you think that's going to, there'll be increased competition because of the D-League mobilizing to, you know, international and teams using the D-League as, like, an international hub of, like, you know, gather players from an international, put them in the D-League, you know, train them, teach them the NBA life, and then they can excel at the NBA. Do you think that will increase the competition in the future, or, you know, it'll be the same as of right now?
I think, honestly, the worst player in the NBA now is a lot better than the worst player in the NBA 10 years ago. Even, like, the worst player in the Raptors now, like, Stanley's not worse than Joey Graham, and Joey Graham started like 5 seasons with the Raptors or something like that, and we picked him in the lottery. I think it's good. It raises a competitive level of the product, and any way to make, like, allow more people to join the NBA world, it's just like the dream for so many of these players.
Absolutely.
So if they can even get to the G League level, it's pretty good. And even like Chris Boucher, it's a recent graduate.
Yeah, look at that.
Never got drafted, played in the G League with the Warriors, played with the G League in with the Raptors, and now he's, like, you know, a fan favorite, and he has a whole nickname.
Same with O'Shea, like the other day, O'Shea's birthday.
O'Shea,
he's, like,
perfect
you don't
example.
Expect him just coming off of the bench and then, you know, giving that much of an impact. But, yeah, you know, that's good.
It is good. All right, man. Yeah. Have a safe drive.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. Peace. Bye. I'm just always so worried about people driving and calling.
I mean, I would hope he's got it on hands-free.
He sounds like he did. Yeah.
He sounded competent.
We have Ekans from in Toronto wanting to talk about Nick Nurse. Ekans, is this a Pokemon call? What is going on?
Hi. Well, actually, my name's Ekans, but he got it wrong.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. This it literally spelled. Will's have bad. You played Pokemon?
No.
Okay. Well, okay. One of the Pokemon's is called Ekans is a snake because Ekans is snake spelled backwards.
It's okay. We'll just get to your question.
I'm sorry for butchering your name, man. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So my question is, this question has nothing to do with the terrible shooting night yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we started the season so well.
Mm-hmm.
But even at the time, I was worried because we're playing so many minutes. I mean, Lowry's leading the league and he's 34.
Sure.
He's playing around like 38 minutes. VanVleet playing 38. Pascal 38. And mm-hmm. I mean, these are not superstars like Kawhi like last year were, and they're not ready for this load. So we started so hot, and then we've obviously cooled off since then. And we have all these injuries now, and we're still playing. Even last night, Lowry played 40 minutes, and VanVleet 38. So mm-hmm. I'm just wondering why are Raptors fans and Raptors media not talking about. I think Nick Nurse has done a great job with all the X's and O's, but I think the whole minutes thing is a huge fatal flaw that no one's talking about.
Well, I mean, I will say, I don't necessarily... First, I will say, if the players themselves are feeling like they're up for those minutes, that's mm-hmm. fine. Like, let them. Like, Lowry went out last night extremely hurt, or he looked like he was extremely hurt, and then he came, back. And
literally,
the
timeout. He just tied his shoes and came back.
So, but, and then to your point, I will say there is a little bit of a problem for necessity, because it's not like right now we've got other guys to, rotate in and take some of these minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's looking, I think the minutes now are a little bit out of necessity. I think at the beginning of the year, guys were super hot. Like, Pascal was playing phenomenally.
Yeah.
And, that's a guy who, he just got that contract. Like, that's a guy that you want to give as many minutes as you can to, because, you're trying to build him up, right? He's got to get used to that kind of playing load
mm-hmm.
If he's what you're building the team around. So I don't know. I do see your point, but I'm not as worried about it, and I don't think it's a hidden thing that we're not talking about, we're not asking questions of, because I don't think there's another option right now.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I don't know, man. Would you rather lose games? That's kind of what it was, right? At least to start the season was that, until the guys developed and got up to speed and playing Raptors basketball. Because the way the Raptors play is more unique than other teams.
Totally.
I think there was an adjustment period. They had to ride the existing players for a long time. And mm-hmm. now you see Nick exceedingly start to trust some of the guys who, mm-hmm. Have joined the team since. Should they cut down the minutes? Sure, but it's not even I don't even feel like Nick's overplaying guys so much as just the Raptors don't compete with some of those guys. Like yesterday, for example, you take Kyle Lowry on the floor. Who are you going to put on the floor? Terrence Davis hit one shot all night.
Mm-hmm.
They have no other playmakers, really. Fred is not really a great playmaker. Pascal's out. Mark's out. It's just difficult. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't put the injuries on Nick Nurse. Especially, I know people like to link that, but you look at how these guys got injured. Literally, Marc Gasol was just running, and he hurt himself.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're gonna do, man.
Yeah,
you can run 40 minutes or you can run 20 minutes. If you're just running and you pull your leg,
I was gonna say that too. Actually, the nature of a lot of unfortunately extremely awful injuries in the NBA are kind of they're anomalies. It's a guy lands weird.
Yeah, it's not you play 35 minutes and all of a sudden everyone is safe.
I don't think it's the kind of thing. Yeah. I actually think, conversely, a lot of wear and usage of those muscles is going to actually contribute to better muscle memory and, learning how to fall properly. And mm-hmm. things just, that we don't talk about because we don't know. We're not professional athletes. But I will say that, that's probably better than a guy coming in super cold.
Right.
Who, doesn't know his body and the usage of that way, if this that makes sense, isn't really gonna, could probably hurt himself a lot easier.
Yeah.
That was very sensual of an answer. But,
you know.
I don't know. We also, I don't know what the other options are, man. Yeah. There aren't any.
I mean, though, is this a contending team, though? Because then why are we trying to win so many games so early?
Yeah.
If we know this is not a contending team, we should be spending some of that, at least some part of the season should be focused on developing the young guys.
I think
they've developed young guys pretty well.
Yeah, and I have to say, I think they are a contending team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
you think they're going to contend for a championship this year?
No, they're not built to contend for a championship this year. But like,
they're going to get in the playoffs. Like, we'll have a
postseason. So, like, you're telling me 28 teams in the NBA should just fold right now? Like, what the hell is that?
Not fold, but take a more like 82 game approach instead of going all out in the first, you know, quarter of the season.
Okay, well, I mean,
and now you have all these.
Okay, well, first off, like I think they're defending champions. I think they want to play with some pride and play hard and establish a culture.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, you put a player in a culture that it's a lot more important than developing their skill set by playing them. Like, look at Cleveland. Like, they played their point guards like 40 minutes a night. They have 3 assists. They go home. They lose by 20. They're like, oh, I got 20 points. Like, that's not development.
Yeah,
like, I'd rather how they develop Chris Boucher, for example.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you put him in a winning environment. You establish that this team wants to win. They're competitive. And honestly, like, you know, they have developed their guys. It's like, what was – are they holding back Terrence Davis? Are they holding back Chris Boucher? Like, there aren't even that many prospects. And then you look at some of the guys. Like, the bigger development picture is what step was Pascal going to take? Pascal is taking a big step.
Mm-hmm.
What step was Fred going to take? He's done that. Norm even has done that. So I don't really understand, man.
Yeah, like, and what do you want? The split of players too. Like, you've got young guys who are extremely hungry, and then to your point, like, you've got defending champions, like, you know, guys that are probably in their last few years. Like, Lowry's not the kind of player that's going to be comfortable or cool with not playing very hard for like his last few seasons.
Especially when he's still playing at a really high level.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, man, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I don't like Sam Hinkie types. I just don't. It's just like, what the hell is the point, man? You're not even playing basketball at that point. You're
so much of it is, what we don't talk about is that so much of it is a crapshoot, right? Like, an injury can, like, totally sideline, like, any, like, championship team season, you know? Like, as it has for the Raptors. Like, Kawhi could get hurt tomorrow for the Clippers. Like, with load management in effect. Like, there's a lot of ways you can manage injury, but then there are ways that you just don't. And then, it's not worth forfeiting like a competitive season that you could have on the chance that someone might get hurt. Like, I couldn't vibe that way.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I've really enjoyed probably the thing I've enjoyed the most about this year is how hard they play.
Yeah.
And how much they compete every game. Like, it's a real, like, again, we're spending 82 nights plus playoffs, honestly, plus preseason sometimes and plus summer league. So like 100 plus nights watching this team, and what we're hoping to watch is not them lose games
because
they're trying to develop Pat McCaw or something. Absolutely. You know what I mean? I mean, I think Nick Nurse might be developing Pat McCaw, though. I think that might be. No, I just mean, like, you know, like, the fact that they're competitive is amazing. They never get blown out. They've only been blown out twice in all year. It's been half the season.
Yeah, and we got, like, a really weird, fun team. Like, this is, like, also an anomaly year in that, like, no, we didn't hope for injuries. We didn't want some of our best players to get hurt. But, like, look at what we have now. We have, like, a weird Frankenstein's monster of a team cobbled together that's still, like, winning against, you know, a lot of odds against them.
Right. We are going to get some more calls in a second, but we got really excited because we saw something on the board, but
something happened. Off. It's gone.
In the meantime, we have Jacob on line one.
Okay.
Yeah. Jacob on line one.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Happy New Year.
You too. Oh,
yeah.
It's been a crazy New Year so far on the news and everything.
Yeah, it really has
it's
been.
True.
Yeah, so I'm just calling in for you guys. I'm from Connecticut, by the way, American Raptors fan.
Oh, right now.
Kind of weird. Yeah.
As I said, I saw CT on here, like, and I wasn't 100% sure.
We didn't know.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's been a rough journey. Yeah, but yeah, I just want to, like, have the question. Like, so I'm, like, on Basketball Reference, and I'm checking, like, OG stats in his third year and, like, comparing to, like, you know, Kawhi's third year stats, and, like,
man.
It's too much of a hope. Yeah, I know, but I just want to see where you guys, like, think that OG's, like, ceiling would be, because, like, he's, like, one of my favorite players in the league because, like, his personality and everything, so, like,
we're probably going to give you two, like, I'm going to give you a real no-holds-barred emotional ceiling.
Okay, go ahead.
And then Will can give you maybe a more, like, analytics-based one.
All right.
Definitely.
Facts based. Anyway, I agree with you. Like, OG is one of my favorite players. He's, like, one of the guys that I was, like, the most upset about last year. He didn't really get the chance or the opportunity to, like, play for the championship, which I think he would have loved and, like, totally deserved. And the way he was playing, like, who knows what he could have done.
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw the way Pascal exploded. And so I think, like, you know, OG would have been pretty close there with him. So I don't know that I would say... I would say reluctantly, his ceiling right now is not clear. Not to say that, like, his ceiling... Don't equate that with, like, his ceiling is limitless.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's got a, like, prospectively very high ceiling.
Yeah.
But it's going to depend on a lot of these kind of, like, harder to pin down factors that we've been talking about. Like, how aggressive can he play? Can his confidence sustain? And I do think a lot of that is just by virtue of him not playing that much last year. You know, he's, like, getting into the swing of things. We saw him, like, start the year extremely well.
Word.
Having a little bit of a slip now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. He's just, like, he's a really interesting player to watch. Like, he can't really, like, he's not super limited to, like, one position.
Right.
I think that's pretty cool, you know? He's, like, a very versatile type player.
Yeah. Defensively versatile.
Here comes Will.
Well, look, I just think OG, if he develops the handle, then you can unlock so many things about his game. Right now, his game is kind of disjointed. Mm-hmm. He has little islands. And you kind of need to build bridge between all of that so that he can be, like, more effective in more situations. Because, like, he's a little bit too talented right now to disappear as much as he has.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why Nick kind of benched him. I don't know. I don't think Nick's is playing mind games either. But I think it's probably in the back of your mind. You watch him and you're like, he could be better than what he is right now.
He could be, but that's a good point, is that we think he has a high ceiling.
He does have a high ceiling, because we physically have seen him do some things that, you know, suggest that he can do more. I just think that, again, if he develops a handle, it's going to make him a whole different player. And it's kind of the same thing that happened with Kawhi. I mean, I don't think OG's going to become Kawhi, no matter how similar their third-year numbers look. But, like, one of the biggest developments of Kawhi's career is that, A, he fixed the jump shot, which OG has fixed the jump shot to an extent. Mm-hmm. His three-point percentage has really plummeted of late. But he also developed his handle. Like, early in his career, he was the same as OG. 3-and-D, get in the corner, guard Russell Westbrook or whoever. And now, it's like, you know, he's handling the ball. He's so mature in the pick and roll, so confident. Gets to every spot he wants to get to. And, yeah, I mean, I want to see OG get to that level as well.
Yeah.
But, I love OG, man. Really likable guy.
Yeah.
We all do.
He's a cool dude.
Super nice, so weird.
Yeah. Super nice, super weird.
Yeah.
And I want to see that weirdness translate a little bit to his game.
Sure, yeah. Well, he does have that. He does a reverse layup or dunk every single time he has a chance to.
Yeah.
He's like on a fast break and he'll go reverse. but, yeah. Well,
all right. Thank you so much, guys. I go back to work.
Keep the OG dream alive.
All right.
Yeah.
Enjoy Connecticut.
Have a good day, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right.
Thank you.
Connecticut.
We got to learn our state short forms.
I thought it was Connecticut, but I also didn't want
to. Yeah. I didn't know. Yeah. To be honest, I didn't know you were getting international calls on the show.
No, we get, international calls. Where's Vitaly from?
People are spending the big bucks to call through.
We got to, like, pay for a calling card and just put that number up there.
Yeah.
those are not fun days. All right, we'll take some more YouTube comments. Also, the lines are still open. We're still on for another about 10 minutes.
What happened to our mystery caller?
Call
back
know.
If you're listening, mystery caller.
Yeah. who talks with us? Jonathan Campbell says, they play hard. I live in the UK.
Hell yeah.
And I sleep until 3 a.m. to watch them, even when they go 1 of 50 from 3. Man, imagine he stayed up at 3 a.m. last night and watched that.
He probably did.
You know, a real one.
Yeah, they do.
Nick and Kyle have earned the right to play the game they want to play. It's true.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
We did agree. We agree with you.
Trust me, man. You don't want to see games where people don't care.
No.
You don't want to see that.
You don't. Then, I mean, look at the Cavs.
Ooh. Yeah, look at the Cavs. Or even, honestly, if you were watching the Raptors as recently as, like, 8 years ago.
True.
Shit was miserable.
Yeah.
It was a miserable
Try
watch.
Try and push that out of your memory a little bit. But
yeah. Another one. In your opinion, which metric is the best at capturing how good a team is? Net rating, point differential, stretch of victory, percentage, others?
My heart is the best metric.
All right.
Typically.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
So far, there's no stat for it. So if there's a math genius out there listening, could you make one? Thanks. What's yours?
I'm trying to think about it. I don't really know. No one's ever asked me about this. I don't really like net rating that much because
mm-hmm.
it kind of overrates regular season teams in a little, in a way.
Yeah.
Like, if you blow out a team and your net rating is inflated because of that, I don't think that makes you a better team than someone else.
Right. I do think then, yeah, they kind of like even you could look at, like, you know, overall offensive rating. Like,
sure.
I don't know.
But even that's
you could,
also,
but that's what I mean. It's like, it's going to fluctuate so much within a season.
Yeah.
Like, look at the Mavs.
Yeah.
Like, best right now. But
sure.
Is that going to continue? No.
I mean, there's one thing. Cleaning the Glass has one, which is a proprietary metric, which you have to pay a subscription to access it, I think. But there's one on there where they filtered out all garbage time. I like that net rating a lot better.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, sometimes you blow teams out in garbage time, and it's like, all right, cool. You have a really deep team.
Yeah.
Doesn't really say you're necessarily better. Honestly, I really do like the above 500 record, which, you know, has cut against the Raptors of late. And, you know, you obviously doesn't have all the context, but mm-hmm. I do like seeing that because something does stand out. Like, if you look at the East, for example, everyone's pretty much 500 or under 500.
Yeah.
Except for Philly. They're 6-4. I'm like, yeah, they'll probably come out, you know?
Stats, man.
Yeah, stats, man.
Stats, man.
On line two, we have Sarah from Montreal. Hello, Sarah?
Hi. Yeah, hi.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, too.
So what's up?
What's up?
Oh, yeah. Well, my question was basically, if the Raptors don't make it out in the East, which team do you are going to support for, either for strategic reasons? For example, I'm sure you don't want Milwaukee to succeed because lowers the chances for Yanis to come here. But so what is your team?
I want Indiana to do some things.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Indiana. They've had a lot of playoff failure.
Mm-hmm.
They had to run up against LeBron, mm-hmm. and I know how that feels. They were more competitive against LeBron than the Raptors were, but they had some pretty good teams at those times, and they didn't really compete. And this year, I mean, like, they're one of the best stars in the NBA. Like, they lose Oladipo, but they signed Brogdon. He's been really good. Sabonis has taken a leap. And I like the organization. They do things the right way. They play the right way. They're a little bit cheap. They don't want to pay the tax, but hey, if you're in Indiana, I don't know if you want to spend that much money.
That's true.
So I want to see them succeed.
I pick weird teams. Like, I'm a big, I guess I'm weirdly a Nets fan because.
Oh, that's weird.
A Nets fan.
Yeah, because I love very intensely some pretty specific weird players on that team. Jared Allen.
Okay.
I do like DeAndre. I feel like he's having a decent year. I mean, say what you will about Kyrie and Durant, who are not really even a factor. But I just like the Nets weird
Kyrie's
energy.
Kyrie's taking a sabbatical.
Yeah. The Nets weird energy, I think, would be actually just like fun, like super fun and exciting mm-hmm. to watch throughout a playoff series. So probably for that. And
it was fun in last year's playoffs. Yeah. I like them against Philly.
They
put up a good fight.
Yeah, they're very weird and explosive and fun to watch. And I mean, I know this is like, we just saw this happen, but I like the Heat. And I think the Heat,
good.
I like Jimmy Butler quite a lot. mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, I want him to have like a successful or a postseason.
Yeah.
So yeah, those would be mine, because like, you know, as much as like I think the Sixers are fun to watch when they're not playing the Raptors,
the Sixers
can't really root for them.
No.
And yeah, like you said, can't
weirdly hateable.
Can't root for the Bucks. So,
and you can't root for the Celtics because they're the
Celtics.
I would
never. So
never do that. So
yeah.
Not a lot of choices.
There's a lot, but not a lot stand
out.
But
there's a lot of wholesome teams in the East this year also. Yeah. So it makes it easier to root for them, even if it's a direct competition. But
totally.
If the Celtics weren't the Celtics, I would like that team a lot. But they're the Celtics.
They exactly. Yeah, yeah, thank you. Yeah. But it's very hard. Sometimes there's always a little detail that puts it off. For me, with the Pacers, it's just the fact that the GM shook the hand of the rich guy sitting courtside.
Oh, yeah.
Larry.
Yeah, yeah.
Them out in my mind.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Sarah. Thank you.
That was a good
in.
Question.
Well, thank you.
All right. And then our last call before we end the show was Stanley's suggestions, which I did ask Katie to prepare some 35 minutes before the show started.
Yes. But we have our mystery caller.
A mystery caller on line one. Who's this?
Hello.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
The energy. The Big V energy.
What is up? Happy New Year.
How you doing, guys? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man.
How was the New Year celebration? How did you enjoy watching Raps beat up on the Cavs?
from home, you know, because I wasn't trying to, wasn't trying to go to the arena that night.
It was quite comfortable to watch.
Yeah, you were up in a cottage and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Katie's having a good time.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this feels like Hoop Talks.
This is great.
I feel like we should be plugging something.
I know.
We're not. Use the promo code Hoops. I don't know. V, what's good, man? How have you been?
Good, man. Just working away. Yep. Trying to get some stuff up for Raptors Republic. Trying to get some stuff up for Complex.
Here's the plugs. Yeah.
Keep it moving.
Yeah.
But no, I actually have a question for you guys.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I've been thinking about, you know, the trade deadline is a month away.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And coming into the season, the big question was, you know, how good can this Raptors team be?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, for Masai, I felt coming into the deadline, that would have been one of his big things in terms of, do I make a move? Do I not make a move? And we're at this point now where you still don't really know how good this team can be because of all the injuries, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 17-0 against teams under 500, 6-12 against the teams over 500. But then, you know, 11 of those games have been either without Kyle and Serge or without Pascal, Mark, and Norm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to figure out where you guys think that leaves Masai in terms of his headspace. Is it like, do I need to make something? Have I seen enough of the offense where it's like, okay, we really need some scoring? Mm-hmm. Or do you think he's like, hey, you know what? We're already really good. I think if we're healthy, we can be great. And so I'm just going to ride it out.
This is a great question.
It is.
You should write about this.
Coming soon for Raptors Republic.
All right. We're looking forward
maybe
to it.
Maybe he already is.
I'm actually just here for coach.
Trying to get, like, are you on us on record? Are you going to put this in the piece?
Of course.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm kind of inclined to say, like, Masai could look at the team and be like, we're pretty good now. Like, mm-hmm. we're obviously having some shooting problems and, like, shortfalls.
But before this last game, they were fourth in the NBA in three-point percentage,
too.
On a high volume. So
so I could see him just looking at the team and being like, I'll wait till we get healthy. Like, I'm not going to mess with, you know, what we've got. Which has been, like, surprising and pretty good.
It is super weird. But I also think that, I mean, if you just look at it, this team is, like, they lost their central superstar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Pascal is ready to be the number one guy in a playoff setting at this level or at this moment. We'll see how he looks when he comes back. Maybe he's, I don't know, taking another six steps in his growth, and maybe it changes. But I think it is a little bit difficult to ask him in his first go-around in the playoffs to go that deep. Mm-hmm. But it also, like, just if you take a step back even before that, it's just like, what were the ambitions of this team coming into the year? Was it to defend the title? Was it to actually seriously contend? Because if you're going to seriously contend, like, this team is short.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any other way around it. Like, they lost Kawhi Leonard. They lost Kawhi. So unless you can get another Kawhi guy at the All-Star break or something like that, like, I think you just kind of roll, you know, sit tight and roll with it. Yeah. There's not, like, any obvious one area to adjust. Yeah. Maybe you get a little bit better in small forward, but
that's the thing. Like, that's where I think it's maybe a little bit more dangerous to start tweaking something that doesn't need to be tweaked, because you could do more harm than good in that sense, right? Like,
yeah. And Masai also famously hates making these in-season trades.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
Like, who is that, like, attractive to get?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not like we get Drummond and we're gonna go that far, you know. It's like they would need to get a superstar, ideally at power forward with 16 letter last name, you know, like.
Yeah, the one thing I was reading in Kevin Pelton's piece for ESPN, he was saying that Toronto could possibly flip Serge Ibaka for Gallinari, and, you know, whatever
mm-hmm.
else needs to be done to work that out. But I feel like I don't think you would want to go into the playoffs with Chris Boucher as your backup big.
No.
Yeah.
You know, I do really enjoy it maybe more than the trades themselves, which I find extremely stressful, are, like, the hypothetical ideas of, like, trades like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Someone writing a very serious piece about, like, what about Gallinari?
I don't hate that idea. I do see the merit in it. I think
mm-hmm.
if you needed to in a pinch, you could kind of play Pascal at center.
Right.
And I probably feel a little bit more comfortable with that than Boucher at center. And if you look at the rest of the teams in the East, Indiana, I'm fine. I mean, like, obviously Sabonis would hurt him, but, like, if it's Miles Turner versus Chris Boucher, I'm kind of okay with that defensively.
Yeah.
Boston, mm-hmm. I'm kind of okay with any of the matchups. And then Sixers, like, you're basically only playing Marc Gasol against Joel Embiid.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. And then Miami, of course, you probably put, again, you put Marc Gasol on Bam Adebayo. And then whoever the Heat are bringing off the bench, you can kind of trust Boucher out there, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind that trade. It does help the Raptors, at least in terms of that scoring boost. I mean, Gallo is just pretty nice. He can create a shot.
I feel like you've talked yourself now into the trade.
Yeah, you know, I like that trade. But you know what? Scratch what I said before. Maybe do that again. There you go.
There we go.
All right, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, buddy.
We miss you, buddy.
Yeah.
Miss you, too.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
Happy New Year, B.
Happy New Year.
Wow. What a great surprise.
That was a great surprise. Left right to the end.
Yeah. Seriously, Big V.
What a
one
dude.
One of our best. before we end the show, we have to do Stanley suggestions.
Right, Stanley
so
suggestions.
We prepared multiple things.
We did.
The show flies by.
It did.
You're like, I'll think about it during the show.
I saw and then some questions come and go. I'm like, I guess we're going to get through them all or not.
No.
That's what happens. We got volume. Stanley suggestions.
Stanley suggestions. So, for people who don't know what this is, Stanley has...
Will this be an ongoing segment?
Until Stanley, like, becomes, like, a rotation-level guy.
Okay.
Then we'll change it.
Okay.
My proposal was we go with DeJuan's Destinations.
I mean, it could turn into that.
It could. And I'm hoping so. But right now, Stanley does have some free time. He's playing a little bit now, but he's got a fair chunk of free time. He has some free time. Yeah.
Yeah. So the segment, you didn't explain it. It's what he can do.
In Toronto
this winter, which I think makes it a little trickier.
Right.
Because when we were talking about this, we were both like, what do we do in the winter in Toronto?
We had multiple grocery stores.
Nothing.
That we discussed.
So
it could be anything, though.
The first suggestion, if he wants to experience Canadian winter activities, mm-hmm. which he probably has never before.
Probably not. He's from California. Although there is some skiing in California if you go to the mountains.
True.
Yeah.
Why not go down to an outdoor rink such as the Bentway Harborfront?
Yes. Harborfront on Saturday nights has like live DJs.
Live DJs.
And it's really a vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can be fun for like a half hour, or if you really like it, you can stay all night.
Yeah. There you go.
There's drinks there, hot, cold, alcoholic, none.
Yeah. Whatever
fits
your fancy, Stanley.
Just skate in a circle to some tunes.
Yeah.
Don't get hurt more. Mm-hmm. I think you could enjoy that. And then another suggestion, which we thought would get him a little bit closer to some cultural identity, like cultural touchstones in the city, is going to big and wonderful, diverse grocery stores.
Yeah.
Such as?
What was the one you found?
Adonis. In the Golden Mile in Scarborough.
Yeah.
Just for Stanley, but anyone listening, just go for the pita conveyor belt alone.
It does look really cool.
Stare at that for as long as you want. They won't kick you out. People do it.
No, you can't get kicked out of a grocery store. I feel like that you have to do a lot to get kicked out of a grocery store.
It's happened for sure.
Okay.
What else we got? PAT?
I was going to suggest... Yeah, PAT's good.
PAT?
Yeah, that one, it's a little small, but they actually have those really nice, like desserts in the front where they make it into
the
fish.
Red bean fish, yeah.
Yeah, the red bean fish. It's real hot. Don't bite into it immediately. Yeah, wait like
Stanley.
10 minutes.
Wait,
like,
you're going to think it's ready and it's not ready.
It's not.
No. Take a little nibble of the tail.
If you're in the West End, Nations. In the Stockyards? Mm-hmm. Gotta go to Nations. That's right.
Nations is phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. It's like a whole thing now. There's like an arcade in there. There's like a whole children's play center, like the McDonald's like little play place or whatever. They mm-hmm. have that kind of thing going on. They have a hot food counter that serves pretty much everything. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously they specialize in Chinese food because it's a Chinese establishment. But they have
takeout. What like?
Yeah.
You could spend all day there.
The hot and sour soup is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It comes free with your two box combo, mm-hmm. two item combo,
mm-hmm.
and then the grocery shopping is fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, the groceries could be a little better, but, it is what it is. It's cheap, though.
Yeah. What else?
that's where I go. So.
No, yeah, that,
or like, Fiesta Farms, if you would like to go to Fiesta Farms.
You just want to get real mad at some people that are getting real mad at nothing.
Yeah.
Just having to be there. Then go to Fiesta.
They do have really nice
people get
vegetables.
Real, like, uptight at Fiesta Farms.
Yeah, it does seem like that kind of place. It does seem like that kind of place. When you're paying $5 for, like, coconut milk.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
And then, what else? TNT?
Yeah.
But Nation's kind of a step up.
If you want to go to TNT, go to Foodie Mart instead. Or
yeah,
Oceans.
Kennedy Commons, Foodie Mart.
Yeah, TNT is now owned by Loblaws, so yeah. It's been gentrified. So uh-huh. No more TNT, unfortunately.
No more TNT.
I did really enjoy TNT, but it is what it is. So
yeah.
That does it for the podcast. what is going on?
What's this?
Oh. We have one tweet coming out at the buzzer. Wow. From Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo Sports. Boston, Dallas, Toronto also have registered interest in Andre Drummond, according to sources. Drummond has relationships with Kristaps Porzingis and Kyle Lowry.
Those are two names I don't like seeing side by side.
Yeah.
You know what? The more I think about this, and now when faced with that, he's a kind of a fit in Dallas. Go to Dallas.
Yeah. Well.
Go Southwest, young man.
Mark Cuban might not like the fact that he played AAU basketball. it disrupts the
morass. Like, it's great to be friends with Kyle Lowry, but you don't need to stake a whole trade on that.
I don't see it. I refer to the famous Masai clip. You're way better than Drummond.
Exactly.
If you said JV is way better than Drummond, then trade a JV. I don't know, man. I mean, the Raptors do need a long-term solution at center, but I don't see it being Drummond. So that does it for the podcast.
That's it.
Katie, thank you for coming on.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Where can people find you and your lovely work?
Well, folks, you can follow me on Twitter.
Okay.
At whatevs. Yeah. You can subscribe to a fantastic free newsletter called Basketball Feelings.
Definitely do that.
And then, you know, I just wrote, actually, I really enjoyed writing this feature on Tim Hardaway Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Very misunderstood, great, and underrated player, I think.
Did you ask him about how much he loves HGTV?
Unfortunately, I didn't.
He loves HGTV.
God damn it. I wish I knew that. Now I like him even more. Yeah. Anyway, that's on Dime on UpRocks if you'd like to read it.
There you go.
That's what I'm doing lately.
Read Katie's work. Subscribe to Katie's work. Follow Katie on Twitter. And yeah, thanks everyone for listening to the podcast. Josh will not be here next week either. He's on the other side of the world.
Hopefully safe. He didn't send a signal.
I got a message, man. I'm really stressed about it. But we'll have another guest co-host next week. But thanks, everyone, for calling in. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks to KFC for sponsoring the program. And we'll be back next week. Peace.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.